Welcome back to hour number three on this Friday night. We're going to go over to the United Kingdom and to Ireland, talk to Father Paul Kramer about the current status of the overthrown and being reformatted as we speak Catholic Church and how it will minister to its 1.3 billion members. This is a major, major story that is largely being completely ignored by the controlled Zionist media. They don't want to talk about it, so you're going to hear it here through Father Kramer, who is probably the last true authority on the third prophecy of Fatima. And we've talked about that a number of times in the past. Hello, Father Kramer. Welcome back. Thanks for being here as always.
Yes, it's great to be back as usual. And yes, what you said there was absolutely accurate. The administrative apparatus of the church has been overthrown. It has been taken over.
Yeah.
Outsiders, intruders who have no legitimate place in the Catholic Church are now masquerading as popes and cardinals.
Yes. You never know. they may bring another, a Bergoglio Jr. in there. I don't know. It's crazy.
I'm afraid that, yeah, there may be another one after him, but unless God in his providence has other designs, but we don't know the future. I study prophecy, but I don't make prophecies, so I can't really foretell exactly what's going to take place with after the demise of this man.
Yes. Which won't come too soon. Sorry. It's just not speaking for Father Kramer, but pretty despicable what's going on there.
Yes. Well, to show you how despicable the overthrow of the apparatus of the church, the administrative apparatus has become, and it happens at a hierarchical level, something that has not been publicized took place here in Ireland. The bishops invited someone to come in to help them in the explain to them how to administer the measures of this iniquitous, perverse decree of fiducia supplicans, which is Bergoglio's decree for allowing for the not just allowing for but mandating the blessing of homosexual couples. Now, the man who was invited in was none other than the militant sodomite Jesuit James Martin. So this is the man that they invited in to help them to facilitate the implementation of the decree. And they had their meeting. They desecrated a sacred place, which is the site of the apparition of Our Lady of Knock in County Mayo.
Okay.
And the bishops, none of them objected. One bishop expressed misgivings. That's all. Misgivings. One lone bishop expressed misgivings. The rest of them had no problem with this promoting of perversity in the church, the blessing of homosexual couples.
Who was this guy that stood up? Did they just do it for effect, or was he sincere? Do we know anything about him?
I don't know the name. I was not able to get the name.
Okay, I'm just curious. They might have just thrown one out there to make it look like it wasn't a complete, total abomination, but who knows?
That shows you that the church in Ireland has been overthrown.
Yes.
That the entity that is there now, the so-called Catholic hierarchy, is not Catholic. It is the Bergoglian sect and that has taken over the administrative apparatus of Ireland. This is the problem when you have an intruder onto the papal chair. The intruder nominates and appoints perverse individuals like himself to positions of power.
Of course,
and that's what he's done.
Yes, it seems. It seems also, Father Kramer, that these people, from the top in the Vatican on down throughout the system, are replacing more and more with their own kind of communist, Bolshevik, Zionist, depraved individuals. This is the new clique. Don't forget the Freemasonic angle to all this too. The Masons are in there. It's all part of the power structure, and it's now taken over the Catholic Church. And we've talked about this for you regulars a number of times in the past. And unless the world bishops stand up and unite and call some kind of a congress or an ecumenical summit meeting among bishops, they're not going to be able to stop this. The church may end up fragmenting into two separate pieces or 10 separate pieces. Who knows? But it's not looking good right now. Please go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
There's going to be a fragmentation, and it's inevitable when you consider that the great theologians of past centuries have theorized about what could be done if a heretic were to become pope.
Right.
The problem with these theories is that they are hypothetical. They hypothesize one lone individual who is astray, and the rest of the church, which remains solidly in the Catholic faith. Yes, the church would be able to deal with that kind of a situation, but what we have today is quite the contrary. We have an intruder who is like a pathogen, a self-replicating virus,
and. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And he is replicating. He is replicating all over the world.
Yeah.
And just like a virus is not part of our body, it's an alien presence that attacks our body. Well, that's what Bergoglio is. Bergoglio is and
he's
self-replicating. All these organisms that he's self-replicating are attacking the body of the church.
He's a complete parasite, evil, no good.
Yes, and this is why Pope Innocent III made a papal teaching in this matter, saying that if the Pope is a heretic, he's an outsider. He's to be removed. He's to be condemned. He's the expression he used straight from the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ. He is to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. And the reason mm-hmm. why they would be able to do that is because mm-hmm. by manifesting himself to be a heretic, he would be manifesting himself to be an alien, not a member of the church, but an alien intruder. And that was the reason given by Pope Innocent III, because these people are intruders. They are aliens. They have no legitimate place in the Catholic Church, and that's why they are to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. This is the teaching of Pope Innocent III. It seems that he lost on so many Catholics, even in high positions in the Church. They say, well, we can't do anything about this man because he's the Pope. Well, no, he's not the Pope. He is the very antithesis of what the papacy is supposed to be. The Pope is the man who is appointed by God to safeguard the faith of the church. And this man is destroying the faith of the church. And he has to be removed.
This calls for major surgery. This malignancy has certainly metastasized throughout, I guess, most of the entire church hierarchy. It's there, and they keep promoting their own from within and appointing their own. This is how they do it. This is how social human cancers proliferate in terms of an intellectual setting. And the church used to be intellectual. When I saw that blessing of same-sex marriages thing 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I just said to myself, and again, I'm not a member of the church. I said, this church is it's dying right in front of us. These are death knells that we're seeing, each one of these horrors. I don't mean to be too negative, but unless the bishops stand up, I don't know. Vigano is making some good statements. You are always making extraordinary statements. But other than you two, who's out there? Who's carrying the flame of trying to cleanse this from the filth that has been injected into the leadership of the Vatican? I don't know.
The filth is going to be cleansed, and it's going to be cleansed by the wrath of God.
Good. Good. Won't come too soon. I'm very concerned about, is the message of evil and immorality and depravity reaching down to the rank and file churches and the members who go, the Catholics who attend Mass and services every week? Is the evil that is Bergoglio spreading all the way down yet? Or is there still some insular factor that's preventing it from hitting the masses? Or has it hit the masses? What's the status on that?
Unfortunately, it has hit the masses. It's there was a priest here in Ireland, in County Kerry, Father Sheehy, who was resisting this evil and preaching against it. And he was reprimanded by the bishop. He was removed from his ministry.
Got it. Well, all right. There chances of an uprising? Where are we now?
Well, Bergoglio is very enraged with the sector of the priests, of the clergy, who are traditional. He singles out the American traditionalists, but he is singularly incensed against all of them, because they will have none of this participating in any kind of iniquity that Bergoglio is spewing and peddling to the church. We have, like, here in Ireland, there are some priests who are still celebrating the traditional rite of Mass, and they are preaching the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ, the teaching of the Catholic Church, as the Church has been teaching for 2,000 years, and they do not compromise with this corruption the gospel and of the divine revelation. And they're all fairly well represented in the United States too, not in every town and village, but within driving distance of most places. Some people will have to drive a few hours to get to a Sunday Mass, but
right.
Those who are really looking for it are able to find it somewhere. And Bergoglio is not at all pleased with that, because he wants, like Stalin, he's got that Stalinist mentality. There can be no opposition. There can be no alternative to his brand of ecclesial communism.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, ecclesial communism. That's what it is.
And
kind of a contradiction in terms, but that fits.
Well, yes. What is happening in the church? It's like what happened in the communist countries. You had the communist movement, and after a critical mass is reached, then it becomes personified in one individual. such as Stalin. And just when you think it couldn't get any worse, what came after Stalin was in China, Mao. And these criminal, ruthless murderers who were militant perverts trying to completely pervert the people from away from observing the law of God, gaining positions of power and enforcing their wickedness on entire nations. And this is what happened after the Second Vatican Council. the evil seed was planted at the Second Vatican Council, mm-hmm. and that critical mass has been reached. And now we have Bergoglio, who is the dictator who is pushing this ecclesiastical form of communism on the Catholic faithful. And unfortunately, the priests and bishops who are even opposed to this trend, they seem not to be understanding that these are intruders, they are aliens, and they have no legitimate place in the Catholic Church. They have to be driven out. They must be driven out. And right. If you don't have the power to drive them out, then you have to place a wall of separation between the true, faithful Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church as it has existed since the apostolic times, the Apostolic Catholic Church with the Apostolic Catholic faith of the New Testament, and there must be a wall of separation between that and this alien organism, which is nothing but corruption and diabolical satanic evil.
Do you go out, Father Kramer, to local church masses? Do you participate at all? Do you sense, if you do, do you sense, what is your sense of the people who go to Mass now, the rank and file Catholic Church members? Are you around them at all to watch and talk about these things to any of them?
Where I celebrate the Mass, the people are all of the traditional belief.
Good.
And we have that wall of separation to protect our faithful from this cancer that's spreading in the church.
Oh yeah.
And that's what the church has to do, because I'm in contact with a lot of people out there who are going to the parishes, and I can see how their minds have been corrupted by their clergy. Because their minds are corrupted by the media, by public education.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And the church is supposed to be the antidote against all this corruption and filth, but instead the church apparatus of administration has instead turned into a vehicle of reinforcing the corruption. And that's why it's so important that we have parish communities that resist and have nothing to do with this corrupted hierarchy. It was Pope Gregory the 16th who explained that when the papal rule of the church breaks down, when it's corrupted,
uh-huh.
then the church reverts to a more primitive form of rule, which is by the bishops. Well, and so forth, because if the hierarchy of bishops is corrupted, then it's on the level of the priests where there's only any governance left. And they are the ones who have to maintain the discipline of the church and administer the sacraments and preach the gospel in their parishes. And they have to erected that wall of separation between the corruptors and themselves and their flock. And that's the only way to preserve and protect the faith of the souls of those that have been trusted to the priest by Jesus Christ, who is going to be a stern judge with the hierarchy, with the bishops and the priests, who have not taken measures to protect the faith of the souls entrusted to their care.
Is there a current connection between the EU leadership and the church? Is the church so far positioning itself to appear as a completely independent, functional? It is a, so to speak, a political organism because it sways so many people. It's got that much power. But what is the connection between the EU and the Catholic Church? It is said that during the war, the Catholic Church and the German government were closer than most people would think. There were lots of goings-on, meetings, secret conferences, and so forth. That's a long time ago now in terms of the rate with which we see history being changed. What's the current relationship of the EU power structure and the Vatican? Anything you can draw together on that?
I couldn't say on an organizational level, but the mentality that has been promoted since the Second Vatican Council has been precisely to bring the church into conformity with the secular values of the day. This is how the evil came into the church and has poisoned the minds of those who run the church, because they were indoctrinated in the seminaries with this new way of thinking that came about after the Second Vatican Council. And that's why we have the hierarchies who are just the bishops who are simply uncritically accepting what comes from the from the corrupt governments here in the European Union, and in places like Canada.
Well, forlorn Canada, poor Canada.
Yes, well, poor Canada. That's indeed when Pope Pius XII read the text of the secret of Fatima, the third secret of Fatima.
Right.
He exclaimed that the words that came out of his mouth. He said it in French, but it was, in English, it's poor Canada, pauvre Canada, poor Canada. That's what he said. Because as Padre Pio, the saint, Saint Pio of Pietrocina, the famous Padre Pio, said of the third secret of Fatima, he said, an entire large North American country is going to be completely annihilated. And on another occasion, he even specified Canada. And indeed, this was published in a magazine. I'm trying to remember the name of the magazine. It was not the single sheet of paper that Sister Lucia had written, but it was a secret of Fatima that had been delivered to Pius XII through his emissary, which was Father Josef Schweigel, who had gone to Coimbra and interviewed the last surviving witness of the apparitions of Fatima.
Right.
Who had received
Sister Lucia,
the secret.
Yes,
Sister Lucia, yes. Mm-hmm. And when he read the text of the secret that had been delivered to him, that's when he said, poor Canada.
Interesting. Well, what is the title of their national anthem? O Canada? I think you should just change it to Poor Canada or Pauvre Canada. Poor Canada. It's gone. Look, it may not be Canada. We may surpass Canada in self-destruction here in these formerly United States. Don't rule that out. We're in grave, grave difficulty here. Canada, of course, is pretty well toast already. But we're right behind. This just may have a different dynamic to it. America is in terrible trouble. It's worse than anyone, I think, could really understand outside of the U.S., and even most Americans don't understand how much strife there is ahead. We're really going down here. It's sad. It's true. Canada seems Trudeau just kind of seems to legislate things, although legislate is not the right word. He pontificates things. He rules like a dictator. That's the best I can say. And you Canadians listening may have a different view of it, but that's what it seems like down here. He just kind of does what he wants. Not unlike Biden. These people are no longer chained to a multi-tiered geopolitical system to run the country. It's a cult of ego now and personality, and it's pretty scary. Pretty scary to watch. Not good.
From what I have in my study of prophecy, I can judge that yes, Canada is a doomed nation, but the United States is as bad off as the United States is at the present time. There is enough vital energy left to resist, and the United States will survive. It won't survive 100% intact, but it mm-hmm. will survive.
Good.
So the
United, good to hear.
States, the United States will survive.
Good to hear that.
The United States mm-hmm. will never again be the great superpower that it was. It will be. A major power, but never again a global superpower.
Nor should it. We've been, this country, in its entire history, has been at war to one degree or another all but 19 years of its history. That's not good. This country should not be the dominant hegemon on the planet, not with a record like that. Look right now, Russia is the, it's doing what we used to think the United States was going to accomplish. Russia is leading the way, showing great restraint, great wit. Putin is a master statesman. What do we have? A pedophile pervert who's barely got a functional brain. How they're keeping that guy even walking and talking seems like a major pharmaceutical achievement to me. But no, this country is gone. It peaked in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and then it was all downhill from there. It's not healthy. It's not good. But that's good to hear that if there's some indication that we will survive this, even in a second-rate status, we don't need to be the policemen of the world. We don't need to have 350,000 American military men and women stationed in over 150 countries around the world. For what? What are we doing? It's not our business. Now, the Russians are leading by example, and they are actually the light unto the world now. Things have changed. We have now assumed the mantle of the evil Soviet Empire, and we're wearing it very well so far. So anyway, I don't mean to go on and on with this stuff, but it's quite shocking to see how quickly this is all happening, Father Kramer. It is really happening. They laid the plans, they set the trap, and they sprung the trap, and it's working.
We had the opportunity to have a very fruitful relationship with Russia.
Correct.
When Putin first became president, he spoke of having a status of partnership between the United States and Russia, which would have been a great thing. But instead, those dark forces of the sectarian Masonic forces that inhabit the positions of power and are palpable in those corridors of power, but hard to drive out. Mm-hmm. They have taken over completely, and turned the United States against Russia, and Russia is driven into alliance to a great extent with China, and China is going to be the great threat to even to the existence of Russia in the not too distant future, in the very near future. Like Fatima, where Our Lady of Fatima spoke of Russia, it was in October of 1949, shortly after the communists came to power in China, that the Virgin Mary appeared in the Philippines in the city of Lipa at the Carmelite convent to a novice by the name of Teresita Castillo. And there, on the 17th of October, the secret of Lipa, she revealed that communist China would attempt to take over the entire world, literally to invade the entire world. And this is the great threat to Russia. I remember when I visited Russia, I was talking to one of the locals who was a very highly educated, well-informed individual. And when I spoke of the prophecy of what will eventually take place with the invasion of Russia by China, the Russian man said to me, "This is our black beast, the Bête Noire." Huh. That is what terrifies them.
Well, right now, China is not doing well economically. They are certainly doing well militarily. But Russia is the dominant power right now in the world in terms of weaponry, I believe. They're just proliferating in every direction. Chinese are growing fast, too. I just don't know. I think it's just going to be a multipolar world in the end. I don't think you're going to see one nation dominating. I think you're correct. Our day in the sun is finished here. It may be an Asian, the next century may be an Asian century. It's not going to be what it was. That's for damn sure. I'm just watching Russia with a very keen awareness that Putin is not a normal man. And yet Putin is influenced and has to pay attention to the Jewish oligarchs that are very powerful in Russia. He must include them. And there is a reason that Zelensky has not been removed in Ukraine. The Bolshevik Zionist Zelensky regime in Ukraine has already liquidated over one... What is the number? I guess it's 1 million. Figure 1 million Ukrainian men and a few women in the Ukrainian military, liquidated them. They're dead. Human wave assaults, insane tactics with no air cover, no air superiority, nothing. And yet after over 600 days, 620 days, something like that, of fighting, the line of combat between Russia and Ukrainian forces virtually hasn't changed. This is like World War I 2.0. It's the same. So what is all this fighting? What is all this bloodshed about? The Ukrainian government is now almost entirely Zionist, communist, Jewish. There's no more opposition party left in Ukraine. And yet Putin, for some reason, is allowing this to go on. He could have and should have taken Zelensky out long ago, according to most everyone who comments on this. They don't understand that there was a deal made and Putin promised, I guess he promised Israel or whomever, the leading Zionist power center, that he would not kill, take out, remove Zelensky. And so we still have Zelensky running around, glad-handing, begging, borrowing, and stealing money. He's probably a billionaire several times over by now. We've put about $150 billion into Ukraine so far, and the amount of theft and corruption is astronomical. So anyway, I think Russia is a remarkable country right now, probably the world's foremost in terms of what it has for a people, a culture, an economy. It's extraordinary. Much more stable than communist China, I believe, at this point. Anyway, go ahead. Anything you want to add to this?
Well, Vladimir Putin is a patriot. I mean, he loves his country. And he will protect the well-being of his country, I think, which is the supreme value in his mind. And when the point is reached that the survival of Russia, the long-term stability and safety of Russia can only be served by taking out this evil government in Ukraine, I think he will act. And I think that his patience is wearing thin, and no agreement that any man makes, any national leader who is in charge of the head of a state with executive power there's a point beyond which agreements are no longer binding. When the self-preservation of the nation demands it, then Mr. Putin will act. And I think that point in time is coming, and it's very near at this point.
Well, I hope so. I'm not a military tactician, strategist, scholar, or anything of the sort. But after 620 days or whatever it is, it's very close to that, and we're still looking at the same basic line of contact. Nothing much has changed. Fierce fighting, fierce dying. Over 1 million Ukrainians have been killed in this 600 days. That's the best guesstimate we can come up with. So I don't know how much longer this is going to go on, but the war should have been winnable and done at least a year ago. And a lot of people beside me see it this way. It's just crazy what's going on. I really think that how the lights are still on in Kharkov, Odessa, Kiev, shopping malls are open in those cities, life is essentially normal, power is on, water is running. How can you fight a war when you allow the enemy to continue to live in that kind of circumstance? I just don't understand it. I don't get it. They are either an enemy or not. And they could have given ultimatums to the Kiev government on many occasions. This war is going to end. You will have 36 hours to evacuate Kharkov, Odessa, and Kiev, and after that time, we are going to level them. They'll be gone, unless you want to negotiate a peaceful settlement. That's what should have been done, I think. Now, that may be simple-minded, but again, what's going on now is the Battle of Verdun. It's World War I, trench warfare all over again with high tech. That's what it is. So where's the gain? Is Russia using this for a laboratory to test new weapon systems? Of course they are. We get that. But at 620 days, that's more than enough. Time to end this. People need to stop dying. This is crazy. Anyway, just my 2 cents.
Even Zelensky wanted to make peace with Russia. And his arm has been twisted by the Western powers to continue to fight on. So even this puppet government of Zelensky is a hostage to those powers.
Well, let's identify them. The powers are international Zionism. That's who's running the show. You can stir in the Freemasons and all that if you want. But Zelensky is Jewish. The entire regime is basically all Jewish. It's a Zionist Jewish enterprise. Ukraine, that's what it is now. There is no opposition, political party. He's banished the Eastern Orthodox Christian Church from the country. So this is another Zionist enterprise. And it really needs to be looked at in that light, I think. Know your enemy.
By continuing with this war, it's moving toward the extermination of the Ukrainian nation.
Correct.
The government of Ukraine, which is again an alien
absolutely
entity,
absolutely
imposed on Ukraine, and it is actually the enemy of the nation.
Well, let's say that it came from Vicky Nuland, or now she's Assistant Secretary of State or Under Secretary of State. Her real name is Nudelman. She's Jewish, part of the International Zionist Jewish Cabal that with 0.02% of the world population is running most of the world. And I don't exclude Russia in that. The Zionist oligarchs in Russia are extremely powerful. They lead a very low-profile existence there, but they are a prime force to be reckoned with in terms of Putin or anyone else. Are there any Catholic churches in Russia of any significant number? Do we
not
know?
Not of any significant number that I know years ago there was an underground Catholic church during the Soviet period. I don't know what had become of that.
Hmm. Well, it was a very big enterprise all during the 20s and 30s, especially the 30s and during the war years in Germany. The church was there, holding mass near the front lines for the troops. All kinds of things. There are many, many photographs of Catholic Church and German government activities working together, trying to firm things up. It was quite a story. It's not talked about, though, but it's true.
Well, what you mentioned about the oligarchs, I did receive some confirmation about that myself. Just over 20 years ago, when I was in Moscow and facing toward the Lubyanka Square, where you had the Lubyanka with the statue of Dzerzhinsky in front of the building there, and on the hill behind. I can't remember the location now, but I remember in that neighborhood, there were two high-rise apartment buildings.
Right.
And it is there that those oligarchs have their luxury apartments in those two high-rise structures when they have business to conduct with the government various government-connected matters that they have to involve themselves with. They stay at those high-rise luxury apartments, and they are all of that same ethnicity.
Well, not a surprise. All right, we have about 5 minutes left, Father Kramer. We're now in the first part of February. The year ahead in the church with the Vatican leadership, I shouldn't even say that, the Vatican regime that's in there, and if you are reporting, and you are, that their impact has already reached the bottom levels of the worldwide Catholic churches, it's there. I guess the marching orders have been sent out. The new dogma has all been forced on the bishops and the local church. I don't know how it works. But if that is really the case, this is the last year of the Catholic church in the old, they won't be able to pretend like it's the old style religion anymore. It's been completely overthrown. So I don't know what's going to happen this year. Do you expect, if God Almighty is going to come down here and cleanse the church, and I think that's what you were saying, that's got to happen pretty soon, doesn't it? We're losing.
And after the end of this ongoing synod, Bergoglio's synod, I think we're going to see things come to a head. And then the wrath of God will intervene. And as is the message of Fatima, that God is going to punish the whole world.
Well,
because the whole world is being corrupted by this evil, which has taken over our secular governments and taken over the administration of the church, the administrative apparatus of the church. These intruders who have no legitimate place in the church have taken over as dictators, who are subverting and overturning the rulership of Jesus Christ. And of course, he is the divine judge, and he will not tolerate that they can remove his kingdom from this earth and replace it with their own.
Right. Well, we will see. Is there anything coming up on the church calendar that we need to be concerned about in terms of the Vatican? Any big events coming?
Well, I think we should keep our eyes on October, which is going to be the conclusion of the synod.
So it's okay. How is the synod going to go on for that's darn near a year, isn't it? Why is it so long? I don't understand how it works. What is the mechanical configuration of this synod? I thought it was over, but I understand it's not. But how can this go on for a year? Do they just get together when they want to and talk about dogma and doctrinal issues? How does it work if it's not going to really be ending and concluded until next October?
Well, they have sessions. Like the last session was about a month long. It was last October. And this coming October of this year, they're going to have a concluding session. And Bergoglio is already, Bergoglio's Vatican is already working to amalgamate the ruling structures of various churches.
We mean non-Catholic churches?
Yes, to be specific, the Anglican Church, the Church of England.
So he's trying
Church.
To absorb the English Anglican Church into the Catholic Church.
Not exactly. What he's trying to do is merge them together into a new entity, where they will be become like a federation of churches.
Okay. All right, I get it. A confederation of individual church states under the Vatican. Okay. Well, we'll see. This will be interesting.
I don't even think it will be under the Vatican. It might eventually be under the Vatican, but I think at the present time, the ruling power is not something so visible as the Vatican.
Well, I'm sure invisibility is part and parcel of any organized movement on the planet that can control something like a 1.3 billion member church and have done so much damage to that institution in a very short period of time, unless they were virtually unknown. So that doesn't surprise me. But let's look at the church as a healthy human being for fun. What kind of medical condition would you say the church is in right now?
The word that comes to mind is terminal.
Okay. All right. No beating around the bush on that one. From what I've seen and what I've learned from you, and it's been a great deal, I think you're right on the money. So we will see what happens. I hope at one of these perhaps Synod meetings, when they wrap it up, that you would go maybe to the Vatican and outside the Vatican set up with Archbishop Vigano and issue some statements. Wouldn't that be an appropriate thing to think about doing?
Well, I try to make this my statements as clear as possible. I leave that into the hands of God, where I will be at the conclusion of the synod.
I understand.
As the book of Proverbs says, man proposes, but God disposes.
Very good. Okay. All right, Father Kramer, thank you again for being here. Talk to you in a couple of weeks or so. You be careful over there. Be safe.
Okay.
Good night. All right. We'll be right back with you on Monday. Zip, zip, zip. Enjoy the weekend. You still got time to prepare. And boy, we need it. We do need it. All those who are able and certainly mentally able of preparing must do so. Time is running out. Have a good weekend. Take care. Talk soon.